appreciate, especially those
who may be visiting with us, for your interest in honoring the God of heaven. Tonight, as we announced already this morning, we will give the report on the trip to Zambia and South Africa that I've been on over the last couple of weeks from September 17th to October 2nd. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, Paul and Barnabas returned to the church at Antioch, who'd sent them out on a preaching trip. And it says in Acts 14 and verse 27 that when they'd come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he'd opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And so it's eminently scriptural, as we need to be reminded, I think, when a church sends evangelists out for those evangelists to come back and assemble the church together and tell them what happened on the trip. And so that's a biblical thing to do and a thing that needs to be done. You have fellowship in the work that I do and all of the work that I do, not just in foreign countries, but here as well. You are supporting me and we are working together to spread the gospel and to edify one another. And I want to say at the outset of this that I cannot express fully and completely to you how much I appreciate the opportunities that you give me to labor in the gospel here with you, to go to places like Africa and other places, to encourage brethren there and to share the gospel there. I am extraordinarily blessed to have fellowship with this church. So thank you. Our trip to Africa was different. This is the seventh one that I've taken, much different in its approach and planning than several of the others. For one thing, we went to a different country. As has been the case the last few trips, I traveled with Tad Corder and Joe Greer that you see pictured there. That was in the Atlanta airport as we arrived home. So if we look a little bedraggled, that might account for that, but that was the three of us together there. But this trip was planned for several days in Zambia, a country to which none of us had been before. We have, all of us, a close connection to the work that's in Zimbabwe. As that you know, this church supports or helps support 10 preachers in Zimbabwe, and we're very close to them and the work that they're doing. But because of the political situation in Zimbabwe this year, with an election and some violence that led up to it and some trouble even still, the brethren there, along with myself and Joe and Tad, decided it would just not be a good year to go to Zimbabwe. We might not only endanger ourselves, but we might endanger them if we had public meetings with foreigners that somebody might perceive to be political in any way. So the problem might be, you know, after we left, that they could be in trouble for something like that. So we chose not to go to Zimbabwe this year, although, as you'll see in this report, we did get to see some Zimbabwe preachers. Well, on September 17th, we flew out, Tad and I did, from Huntsville. We went to Atlanta and met Joe, and we flew the 15 or 16-hour flight from Atlanta over to Johannesburg, South Africa. You land, as I've suggested to you before, you land in South Africa in Johannesburg. It's nighttime there, and there are no more flights going anywhere, and so you have to spend the night there. So we spent the night in Johannesburg before going to Zambia the next day for about 8 or 9 days of work there. And then we returned to South Africa for some work there. Here were the primary objectives on this trip. We wanted to study with Zambian preachers on the subjects of authority and the scriptural pattern for the work of the church. There are some sound churches in Zambia. We had a contact there who I'll introduce you to in a minute, named Chris Lichaha, a contact that we made through Tenzin Mangwenyana and some other Zimbabwe preachers. We had none of us met Chris before, none of our group, but we had a lot of faith in him. We'd communicated with him ahead of the trip over there, and he's a sound preacher. There are some sound churches there, but there are many churches that do not follow the scriptural pattern regarding the work and organization of the church. It's a huge problem, and one, frankly, that a lot of our brethren are sick of and want to re-examine. And we hoped, and in fact it turned out, that we got to be with over 24 preachers who are seeing the need to apply God's pattern to their work and to the work of the churches. So that was our first goal. Our second goal was to study with some select Zimbabwean preachers that we asked to come over the border and meet us in Livingston, Zambia. There's a false teaching that has cropped up in Zimbabwe. We were somewhat concerned about it last year, so we asked a few of the leading guys that we know from that end of the country of Zimbabwe to come over to Zambia and study with us on that topic for a full day, and I'll give you a report about that. And then thirdly, we wanted to go back down to South Africa to the city of Durban, a city where Patty and Sandy Kindabal had labored for several years, but had in the last year or so had to leave that work. We wanted to touch base with the churches that they had labored with there, some of the brethren they'd labored with, and encourage them in the faith. So those are basically the three objectives for this trip. So we got to Johannesburg that first night, and as some of you may have seen on Facebook, something quite unusual happened. We are used to staying in this lodge. It's Arrow Lodge. It's not very far from the airport. Comfortable place to spend the night before you get up and head out to your next country the next day. But the thatch roof of the reception area caught fire, and there was a lot of screaming and hollering in the middle of the night. And when I finally got up, the firemen had been there for some time. There was no real danger to anybody, but it did sort of ruin the little eating room there where we normally have breakfast. So we headed out early to the airport, much earlier than we would have, and went ahead and caught our flight and got breakfast at the airport. So nobody was hurt, no damage. It was just a little excitement. And we went on to Zambia. And here's the country of Zambia, just north of Zimbabwe. It borders Zimbabwe, Namibia, Botswana, Angola, the Congo, Tanzania, Malawi, Mozambique, all of these countries. But it's right smack in the middle of South Central Africa. It's larger, both in land mass and in population, than Zimbabwe. It's probably half again as large as Zimbabwe and has a population of some 18 million or so, give or take, which again is probably half again as large as the country of Zimbabwe. Interesting country, Zambia, in a lot of ways, whereas it's pretty hard to get into Zimbabwe, pretty hard to get citizenship in Zimbabwe. Zambia's borders are pretty well wide open, and they just will accept anybody in there. If you want to go apply for citizenship to Zambia, knock yourself out. I think they'll take you in. It's a much different approach to government there. Different in some other ways too, whereas in Zimbabwe you have two main tribes and three or four sort of tribes on the outskirts, you know. In Zambia there are 72 different tribes, all with different languages. And so the whole country is an amazing hodgepodge of subcultures that seemingly get along really well together and cooperate really well together. So we went to Livingston, which is on the very southern end here. As you see, we'd been to Victoria Falls many times, and now we're just over the border in Livingston. And our goal was, as I said already, to meet with Zambian preachers. We had, as I'll talk about in a minute, a number of Zambian preachers from the southern and western provinces, this area right here, meet us down here in Livingston. So they did the traveling instead of us. We stayed in one place. Much better for us, a little harder for them, but we got the job done anyway. And I'll show you a little later on, we also had a small group come all the way from Chapada on the far end of the country, a second group of Zambian preachers that we studied with, and I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. But this is Chris Lichaha. If in this picture he looks like a very noble African, I want to tell you that he is a very noble African and a noble brother. I was extraordinarily impressed with Chris, probably as much as any gospel preacher that I've met in Africa. He's just a solid man. He works with the Linda Church of Christ in the Livingston area. He himself was educated, if you will, in a mission school in Livingston. He learned that what he learned in that Bible school was not right when it came to the work and organization of the church, studied his way out of it. He's been standing for the truth pretty much alone in a lot of ways compared to some of his peers. He is self-supporting. He's not supported by any churches. He works at a secular job. He manages a nonprofit there in Livingston. and just a really, really good man. As I said, he went to this church-supported Bible school, but now he says, according to his own words, I'm considered the black sheep of all of the guys that I went to school with, because he has arrived at some different conclusions than many of them have. So he's the guy that we worked with in arranging all of this in Zambia. He was with us the entire 8 or 9 days, helped us get around when we needed to get around, translated for us just anything you wanted to ask of him. He was there. He took off work in order to accommodate us for these days. So just a really, really fine man. This is the first study group that we had, about 23 guys, preachers, again, mainly from the southern and western provinces of Zambia. Some came from nearby areas and others traveled more than a day from the far western province. It was a more than a day's journey, and we had 4 or 5 guys travel from there. Most of the Africans in this area are of the Tonga tribe, and we had had some experience with Tonga brethren in the northern end of Zimbabwe last year. In fact, we had a preacher study in the northern end of Zimbabwe for Tonga brethren last year, you may remember. So these also were Tonga, same tribe, spoke the same language. But we had a minority in this group, especially those from the western end, who were of the Lozi tribe, and they speak that language. They did not speak English very well, so we had to translate all of these lessons into Lozi for them. And thankfully, Chris spoke Lozi, and I'll introduce you to somebody else who did as well. So the topics for these studies, as I said, had to do with authority and the work of the church. I'm sharing this chart with you just as an explanation of the way things often have been conducted in Zambia. This is true somewhat in the northern end of Zimbabwe as well, and in other African countries. But what you have is a number of American churches who have money, and they'll send that money to a sponsoring church in America. And that sponsoring church says, well, we're going to be the sponsoring church for a mission in Zambia. We're going to be the Zambia Evangelism Church. And so these churches send money to this sponsoring church, and then this sponsoring church establishes what they might call a mission or a Bible school or a preacher training school. Could have different names. Often in Zambia, it's just been called a mission or a Bible school. And then this mission or Bible school teaches and trains preachers and others sometimes, but oftentimes specifically designed to train preachers. And then it sends those preachers out to local churches. And sometimes it sends money out to build local church buildings as well. If you're familiar with the truth on these issues, you're probably saying, you know, you got bells going off in your head and red flags going up and ding, 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 ding. Where is this in the Bible? Well, that's not in the Bible. There's nothing like that in the Bible as far as carrying on the work of the church. The way it's done in the Bible, just to quickly review, is if you want to support evangelism someplace, you send an evangelist there and you support him to preach the gospel. And if he needs support, you send the money directly to him. Simple. This is man-made. And because it's man-made, it's fraught with problems. And people who are thoughtful and study the Word of God, doesn't really take them very long to see that it's fraught with problems. And one of the things that comes up repeatedly, not only in Zambia has it come up, you talk about, why do we have sound churches now in Mexico? Why do we have sound churches in Guatemala? It's because some brethren have tried to follow this pattern, and folks have seen that it's a perversion of the truth, and this man-made centralized control leads to abuse of power and loss of congregational independence. What happens repeatedly in these countries, and has happened in Zambia, is these mission schools, they're controlling these preachers and these churches. They're telling the preachers where they can go to preach, what they can preach. They're controlling what's going on in these congregations. Their congregations lose their independence. They are beholden to these missions, and especially to some guy that's the director of this mission. He's in charge of all of this. It's how Catholicism got started, folks. It's the same concept. Centralized control. Well, some of the guys that we're studying with had already seen the problems. Some of them were starting to see the problems, and some of them maybe had no inkling as to what the problems were. So we had a mix of preachers and their understanding in our studies. But these brethren were eager to learn God's pattern for the work of the church in evangelism. And I was impressed with that. We were in a conference room there at the lodge where we stayed. There was an air conditioner in there. Outside, it was, I think the first day of our studies, 102. You might notice that although there's supposed to be an air conditioner in this room, we still have the door open. That's to get a draft through there because the air conditioner would cool it down to about 90 in there. That's how good it was. So the whole time we were extraordinarily hot. I'm just saying this not to say what terrible things we went through, but the fact that it's hot and we're studying all day long, some very intense studies with these men, and they're not blinking an eye. Nobody even started to doze off. Nobody, you know, fell out. We did have to keep water on the tables. You notice all the water bottles. We had to keep everybody hydrated. But it was a very profitable, very intense study for about 2.5 or 3 days with these men. Let me tell you about a couple of them. This is one of the two translators we used. I mentioned Chris Lichaha was one, and Ruben Katzungo was the other translator for us in Dolozi. He was from the Western Province, and he could translate from English into Dolozi. His English was impeccable. Apparently, his Dolozi is pretty good, too, so he was able to translate for us. Ruben is from this far Western province. In his area, there is an American preacher. I could tell you his name. He is known to brethren all over Southern Africa. There's an American preacher who receives funds from U.S. churches for the purpose of sending out Zambian preachers into the villages with the promise of monthly support. And then he fails to come out monthly with their support. Meanwhile, he is living like a king in Africa, getting all this money from American churches and not bringing these poor Zambian preachers the support for the work they're doing. You'd have to be Solomon to see the problem with that. Reuben sees the problem with it. He's rather sick of it. He was excited to learn that there's a biblical pattern that would solve that problem. This is Richard Mungala. Richard, extraordinarily talented man. I could tell just in the conversations I had with him. Very knowledgeable of the scriptures, very well spoken in English, and I'm sure in his native tongue as well. Richard works with a church whose first building was built with funds supplied by outside brethren who wished to control the work. Richard didn't want that local church to be controlled by outside brethren. So he and most of the brethren just left that building and went out and built their own building. Now, I don't know everything that Richard believes and teaches. I suspect he still has some growing to do on certain Bible subjects. But I know this about Richard. He believes in congregational independence. He doesn't believe in the institutional model of controlling these churches. And he, too, was extraordinarily happy to be in this study and learn the details of the biblical pattern for churches supporting evangelists. I might tell you, I didn't get to visit the congregation where he preaches. It was some miles away. But my understanding is that it has a membership of something like 300. He's just doing extraordinary work in an independent congregation. You don't need the institutional model to teach the gospel, you see. Well, after that 3 days of study was over, we come to Sunday, and Sunday's always a day that we like, Tad, Joe, and I, because what happens usually is the local preacher will arrange for us to go out to some of the village churches and actually get to meet the brethren and do some teaching in the village churches, and this was really, in Zambia, our only day to do that. I got to go out to an area called Manapapas and preach for the church there. That's a picture of the congregation after services. The fellow on the left over here, his name is Henry Speedy. His last name is not really Speedy, but the Tonga word means speedy in English. So we call, I can't pronounce the Tonga word, so he's Henry Speedy, is what we call him. Henry is a fascinating guy. He's been teaching the truth for a long time. He is the head man in this village. Just to understand local politics there a little bit, you have a chief who may be over dozens and dozens of villages in a pretty wide area, maybe as big as a county. Okay, so you got all these little villages, and you have a chief that's over all of those, and then each village has a headman. But what Brother Speedy is he is actually the headman of all of the headmen. All of the about 31 headmen report to him, and then he reports to the chief. He's a very powerful guy in this neck of the woods. He's been there a long time, highly respected. People know him. Been preaching the gospel for a long time, and just a delightful man in every way. I enjoyed being with that church 2 weeks ago today. Here's some of the village scenes after we left the meeting place. There's some of the neighbors picking their tomatoes. They irrigate a lot in this part of Zambia, and so they're growing a lot of good tomatoes, and the man wanted to show us that. There's Henry and his brother Joseph and another brother walking down the road going to Joseph's house. Here's at Joseph's house. This is the kitchen, which is basically a hut outside with a fire. And that's one of the young ladies of his family cooking lunch for them. This is Henry and his brother Joseph in front of his place. Typical village life in Africa, very similar to what we've seen in Zimbabwe many times. It's always a joy to be with these people, though, in their home environment. Very pleasant. They're very hospitable. They're very receptive to the gospel. Joe Greer went another direction. He preached at the Linda Church of Christ. This is where Chris Lichaha, our host, normally works. And there you see their building. Again, here's a case where institutional brethren had sought to gain control of the Linda Church. They offered to provide funds to build a concrete floor and furnish money for the walls of the building, but brethren there have resisted that. They don't want outside control, okay? They want to maintain their independence. Something really nice happened. Some of you as individuals had given me funds to take over, and I let Chris know I had some money, enough to buy the block to build the walls. No strings attached, that was clear. And individuals had given that if they'd like to use that to build the walls. And he said, sure, that'd be okay. So hopefully, maybe some of you will get to visit Livingston someday and visit a church that has building that has walls there that was paid for by individual from the East Side Church of Christ. On Monday, as I mentioned, we had invited four Zimbabwe preachers up to join us. Solomon Chikamba, who is there the closest on the left, he helped us a lot last year in our travels and our work. You may remember his picture quite a bit last year. This is Peter Mudenda, Short Mapande, and Tenzin Mangwinyana, who has preached from this pulpit before and who Eastside supports. These four brethren came over from Zimbabwe. This is Chris studying with us, and a local brother whose first name is Ortis, young man who does some preaching as well. These six studied with us all day Monday on the doctrinal problems, and some of the older folks may know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Charles Holt doctrine. But there was a fellow by the name of Charles Holt a few decades ago. He stomped around North Alabama for a while, and he sort of went off on this idea that, you know, there's really no such thing as elders per se appointed in a congregation that are supposed to oversee the work of a local church. They're just sort of examples, that's about all they are. And there's really no such thing as an organized institution called a local church, just sort of a collection of individuals who sort of do work as individuals. And there's no such thing as a collective treasury. So those are some of the tenets of his doctrine. Well, some of that doctrine had gotten over into Zimbabwe. And we'd heard of it last year. We were quite concerned about it. We thought we'd study with these men who are some strong leading men in this northern end of Zimbabwe about these things. We knew that if we could study with them on the truth about these things, that they would be solid and be able to carry that truth elsewhere in Zimbabwe and combat that doctrine. So we had a very successful day of study with them, I felt, and were able to establish some groundwork on those important topics. So again, the third group that we had in Zambia for the next couple of days, Tuesday and Wednesday, as I mentioned, was a small group from Chapada. There's a preacher there by the name of Christopher Banda. And Christopher, as I discovered, is a longtime friend of Tenzin Mangwenyana. Tenzin has made a couple of trips up to this area in recent months. Eastside helped him with one of the trips to go up there. And Chris and Tenzin are fully convinced that they can teach the truth about God's pattern for the church and how to support evangelism and the problems with the institutional model, that they're going to be able to win over quite a number of churches in this far eastern area of Zambia. And Chris and Tenzin have already been working on that. They're planning sort of a gospel, extended gospel meeting for a couple of weeks in mid-October. It's coming up here in a week or two, among a number of these congregations in this area to teach the truth on those matters. But anyway, it's Chris Banda that was our contact, and Chris wanted us to come there. And I told him, I said, well, that's a long way, and we'd probably have to fly, and it's going to be pretty expensive, and it's going to take an extra time of travel for us, so it's going to be more efficient for us if you can travel to us, and we will help you get to us, and then we can study with you, and you can bring some guys with you from there, maybe that need some teaching on this. So that's what we agreed to do. So he traveled with his group all the way from Chapada to Livingston. That's about 700 to 800 miles by bus. And the bus in Zambia, when it gets to be 10 o'clock, is not allowed to travel anymore. So it got to be 10 o'clock on Monday night, and the bus had to park. And they slept the rest of the night on the bus, except they didn't sleep on the bus. And then they made it in early, early Tuesday morning, but were with us bright and shiny at 9 o'clock to study. And none of them fell asleep either all day, or even acted like they were tired. It was really amazing. It was only about 100 that day, though. Here are three men I want to introduce you to. The one on the left is Jackson Zulu, one of the young preachers that Chris Banda brought with him. Chris there is in the middle. I've had a lot of correspondence with Chris. Again, a very impressive man. If I can tell you just a minute of his history, he went to the same preaching school in Zimbabwe that Tenzin did. That's where they met. They both independently studied their way out of the error that was taught there. They are longtime friends, teachers of the truth, have recently reconnected to do this work in Zambia. Again, these studies were arranged by him working with Tenzin. And Christopher brought these brethren to study about the Bible pattern. Let me tell you about this young man, Jackson. Jackson just recently graduated from a church-supported Bible school over in the Chapada area. He has been waiting for the institution, for the director of the Bible school, to tell him where to go preach. He's been waiting for some months. In this same time frame, there have been some problems with the director of that Bible school, and I won't get into all the politics of that, but he's been asked to step down from his position by American churches. He's refused. He said, this is my Bible school. This is my property. I'm staying here. I'm in control of it. So that's kind of what's going on there, along with some other things. And that's the godlessness that happens when you don't follow God's pattern. Those kinds of things happen. We can just imagine how open Jackson is to hearing the truth about some of these things and God's pattern for accomplishing these things. He was happy to be with us. He studied hard. We got moved out of our big room because there was another group that came to the lodge. And I know it has a different meaning, but we actually closed down the bar in this. They closed the bar so that we could meet in that area to conduct our Bible studies the second day of these studies. And it was a very cramped area, but we were a small group. The air conditioner wasn't working there either, but we did have the window open. It was, like I said, it was only 100, so it wasn't that bad. But these guys studied with us so diligently, and you can even see here Joe is talking middle of the afternoon, and they're just wrapped with attention. Two other guys joined us for these studies, Joseph and his son Benjamin. They actually preached there in the Livingston area. They were unable to come to the earlier studies, so they joined us for some of these studies as well. So you see a group actually of seven guys there. Well, the next day was a travel day down to Durban, South Africa. After we finished our work in Zambia, we left, I think, on really good terms with the brethren in Zambia and the work that had gone well. We're going down to Durban again. This is my third trip to Durban. Tracy Boyd can tell you an awful lot about Durban. She was a little girl here years ago. But as I said, Patty and Sandy Kindleball have recently wound up several years of work there. Les and Linda Maydell have been there for many years, recently had to leave. So a lot of the sort of old-time preachers who've worked with the churches in this area, done a lot of good there, have recently had to leave there. And one of my thoughts about, as long as we're in the neighborhood of Africa, why not stop into Durban, check on these brethren, encourage those churches, see if we could just help in some small way. Durban's a fascinating city. It's a big, beautiful city in a lot of ways, well over 500,000 people. There's a lot of wealth there, a lot of industry, but there's also extraordinary poverty. So you see the beautiful Indian Ocean down here in the left corner, traffic along one of the main highways and the big high-rises in the distance, and then what we'd call a shanty town, just a squatter camp of people living in shacks right along the road as well. So you have those extremes that you have in many countries, but here in South Africa as well. We had a three-day gospel meeting or lectureship scheduled with the church at Phoenix. I think this is the largest church, I'm sure it is, the largest church in Durban. And our idea was if we could have a gospel meeting here, then maybe some from the other smaller churches could attend part of the gospel meeting. This is a brand new building that was recently built. It's a three-story building. The church, the Phoenix Church of Christ that occupies it, had been meeting in various places, a school and this place and that place. They'd moved around some. But they had a couple of members who are doctors who built this facility and leased to the church the middle floor. So they have the whole middle floor now leased to them. And it's a very commodious place, even, I think, by American standards or any standards. Seats, I'm sure, 160, 170 people in the auditorium, and I'll show you that right here. We started on Friday night, preached all afternoon Saturday, and then had some Bible studies Saturday evening. On some of the Saturday sessions, there were easily 150 people there. And just, again, really good attention, really a lot of interest in the Bible study. And we feel like we encouraged the group there, and they encouraged us a lot as well. This church has elders, one of the few churches that you run across in this area of the world that have elders. We're so impressed with the elders that are there. And I'll show you pictures of one of them here in just a minute. But there are young preachers and their families in this area that are poised to carry on the work. You might recognize the ones on the right and the ones on the left there, Joel and Brittany Williams, who are, Brittany is from North Alabama, and they are over in Ashawi, which is just a couple hours north of Durban, doing the work of the Lord. But they came down to visit us during the gospel meeting, and we were glad to have them in the crowd. And then the couple on the right there is Wesley and Jacqueline Reddy. One of the things that's happened in the churches over there when American preachers have been there is that they've relied on the American preachers to kind of do a lot of the evangelistic work. Now, this church in Phoenix is a very mature church, and they have some capable teachers and preachers in this church, but none of them is working at it full time. But the elders of the Phoenix church have just lately agreed with the congregation that they're going to have a full-time preacher in that work. And they've chosen one of their own, Wesley Reddy, to carry on that work. He is a fine young man. I met Wesley before. I've corresponded with him over the last 3 or 4 years off and on, just a good Bible student. And so that's a sign of growth, I think, in this congregation, a congregation that's already grown and matured a lot. Something that's really good that's going on there is you have these young men not just from America, but also now coming up from the ranks there in South Africa to carry on the work. And that is an encouraging thing. After the Saturday session, we went over to one of the houses of one of the brethren there and had quite a lengthy Q&A, Bible questions and answers. There you see a bunch of the men sitting around. That's Lemmy Chetty, one of the elders, kind of asking Joe a question, and Joe's thinking about it and answering. And there's Adam Kindleball, by the way, who was our guy in South Africa to carry us around and drive on the left-hand side of the road and all the stuff you need somebody to do. Adam helped us out with all of that. But you see the brethren just really seriously studying. We went, I don't know, for an hour or more answering and talking about a number of Bible questions. Really enjoyed that session. After we'd gone for some time, some of the ladies also came in and studied with us and talked with us who were there at the house. And so we had quite a long and lengthy and good Bible study, answering some questions that were near and dear to their hearts and concerned the work of the church there. So that was Saturday evening. Saturday morning, we preached again at Phoenix. And then, Sunday morning, we preached again at Phoenix. And then Sunday afternoon, we went out to the church in Pinetown, which is again in the Durban area. There are a number of smaller churches around Durban, some meeting in homes and some in small buildings and so on and so forth. But the church at Pinetown is now meeting in the home of Prabhu and Shamin Luckraj. Patty and Sandy Kindleball lived just a few houses down from them when they were there, and they worked closely with this congregation. So I want to show you, I think, kind of wind things up, and this might tickle some of you. I don't know, it kind of tickled me. Here are Prabhu and Shamin. Here are their four beautiful, intelligent, extremely godly children that work with them. And some of the members there at Pinetown. We had 15 there that day, so that's kind of the size of the congregation. Who's that guy? What I want to show you is they got a big kick out of this. I'm also on the TV behind them because they stream the services from here. And apparently about every week they've been watching me for, and you all too, and listening to the sermons for some time. So one of the kids thought I'd just be hilarious if got a picture of me in front of me on the TV. I will say this. This is not the only family in Africa that is streaming the services from here and getting a lot out of the teaching that's done here at Eastside in our auditorium classes and from the pulpit as well. Another brother came up to me at Phoenix when we were there from another congregation in Durban and was talking about how many of the lessons from Eastside that he has watched and profited from. And Tracy, I was telling them, I'm going to show Tracy all of this because I know how hard you've worked on this. This is making a difference to these people. They're learning a lot, as we all do from studying together. The things that we do here at Eastside, what we put in the contribution plate to help brethren overseas, what we're doing in trying to get the message out through the live streaming or whatever. A lot of the things that we're doing here are being blessed by God to bless people all over this world, and to Him be the glory. We will glorify the King of Kings, right? That's what we're doing. And so I thank you for participating in all of that with me and with the Lord. We're going to sing a song in just a moment, inviting you to give your life to the Lord, to let Him have His way with you, to let Him be the potter and you be the clay. And if tonight you'd like to be a part of this great kingdom that is all over the world, truth is being taught, people are being brought to Christ and shown the simple plan of salvation and the simple way of worshiping Him all over the world, as Christ intended when He died on the cross for us. If you'd like to be a part of His church and give Him your life, we'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.